Need to Succeed, the podcast. This will help you get everything that you want. This will power lift your life, give you unshakable confidence to achieve your biggest goals and wildest dreams. It's going to help you to create a life that you love and build relationships that you adore. Why am I so confident that I can give you that? This is my job. I'm a mindset and confidence coach. This is what I do for a living. I've never given these life hacks away on a podcast for free before, but that's about to change right now. So put your seatbelts on and buckle up and get ready to enjoy the ride of your lifetime. People call me the mother of motivation, the confidence queen, the person that you go to for positivity. This podcast will motivate and empower you to run at your life. And the fastest way you can do that is to use these techniques, the same ones that I've used in my own life and the ones that I use and encourage for my clients. The only question that is left to ask you is, are you ready? Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Everything You Need to Succeed, the podcast. Thank you so much for coming back to us. This is step one. I am super excited.
I'm also very excited. I'm Chris Gregg and I'm also going to be part of the podcast every week. Now, we had a little intro podcast last time and we explained how it's going to work. But in case you've forgotten what we said, or maybe you didn't bother listening to that, you thought, let's just go straight to step one. The steps are based on Iffy's book, which is called Powerlift Your Career. And step one is the first chapter, really, of the book, isn't it?
It is. It definitely is. And I like to have everything in sequence. So thank you for joining us. And you're going to get so much value. And it's going to be fun as well.
So my role, basically, is to be the voice of the listener. The ignorant voice of somebody that has no idea how to sort their life out. And hopefully by the time we finish recording these, my life will be better as well. So I'm going to be asking stupid questions, but possibly the questions that you'll be thinking as you listen to the podcast. So we'll get started. So chapter one, start with something light. The first step.
Yes, chapter one, start with something light. First of all, what I would say is that there is no stupid questions. Every question is a relevant question. If ever you watch the program Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you only know the answer if you know the answer, don't you? And everyone's like, I know what the answer is. Anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about start with something light, yes?
Are you ready for a stupid question yet? But there aren't any, so I can ask you anything. Yes. Why aren't zebras yellow?
I have no idea why zebras aren't yellow. Do you know?
The same reason that strawberries aren't blue. So back to the book. Step one, start with something light.
You've rubber thrown me now, Chris. Okay. So I'm still trying to work out how strawberries are not blue and why zebras
well,
are not yellow.
Let's start with something light. A feather.
I love it. When my mum passed away, I kept seeing white feathers everywhere. And then I Googled it and it said, when a feather appears, an angel is near. And aww. I love it now. So when my children see feathers, they go, Nanny's here. And I said, she's always here, boys.
That's really sweet. Well, I'm glad I made that facetious comment now about the feathers, because actually everything happens for a reason. Even when you try and be random, sometimes the universe will just send you back on the right course again.
Absolutely. And I think it's about believing that. So step one, start with something light. I called it start with something light is because I truly believe that if you really want to change your life, change your career, you've got to start with the first things, just a tiny little bite. And the first step is to decide what you want. It's all about actually making a decision about what you want, being really clear about what it will look like when you have arrived. And most people I meet and most of my clients, they can't actually make that decision. They can't make the shift. And I hear things like, oh, I don't know what I want. I'm not sure what I want to do. I'm not good at anything. And they just can't actually be clear. And I really believe that if you can't start with something like what is it that you want? How can you continue on the other steps that I've got to share?
I think it helps the world help you if you know what you want, because unless you've got that clarity, unless you're going in a certain direction, you're not going to get where you need to go. You'll get somewhere completely different. And you won't even know whether you've achieved what you need to achieve or not, because you won't have that clarity in your head.
Absolutely. And even when we think about, you know, Revolution Radio, the station, we were having a conversation about when you are hiring people, choosing people. And we were talking about how when someone comes in and says, this is the show I'm going to do, I want to come and do a reggae show. So clear, you know, clarity. Yeah. When, let me ask you a question. How do you make decisions on who you bring into the studio? There must be loads of people who want to do radio shows.
Yeah. So to explain why I'm making those decisions,
yes,
I'm the boss of the radio station as well. So I get a lot of emails. I have a lot of stuff to do every day, and not every email kind of cuts through the noise. And if somebody comes to me and says, I want to get involved, don't know what I want to do, I'm only here for 2 weeks, and then I'm going to be going off to university or something, and I'm going to need a lot of help deciding what I want to do, that's not going to persuade me to give up my time to kind of spoon feed them and help them decide what they want in life. If they send me an email saying, I love reggae, I want to do a reggae show, can you help me make that happen? Or I'm really into photography, can I come and take some photos at events that you do? Or I want to help you with graphic design, or I wear nice hats and talk about positive thinking, I want to come and do a podcast. Then suddenly I'm thinking, yeah, let's do that. But it's about clarity on the other side. And it must be the same with a lot of people that are making decisions in life. If you come to them with some sort of wishy-washy, half-thought-out idea and you don't give them anything to action, it's a lot more likely to get ignored.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I think the fact that we know this, we know that if you are clear, crystal clear about what it is that you want, it helps you, because then the people around you are clear about what it is that you want, and then they can help you. So the idea of, if you were to open your front door and say, I'm going to go to Scotland. And they go, where? What's the house number? What's the door? What's the name? What's the postcode? If you're not really specific about what it is that you're trying to do, you'll end up in Scotland and you'll just be wandering around. And then you'll go back home and say, oh, I didn't think it was very good there. But if you say, look, I'm going to go to this hotel, I'm going to go and look at these things, and the reason I'm going there is because I know that this is meant to do this for me, then you're like on a mission and you'll go there, even if the roads are closed, even if stuff happens that kind of prevents you, because it does normally when you're on a mission somewhere. But because you're so clear about what it is that you want, you know what the destination is, the clarity is strong, you'll keep going. And every time you ask somebody to help you, if you ask them to help you with a clear question, you know, can you show me how to get to this place? They can either say yes or no. But if you say, look, I kind of want to go somewhere nice, they're like, I want to go for dinner somewhere nice. And they think, well, there's loads of nice places. You need to be a bit clearer. You're a vegetarian.
Yeah. But I think part of it is also spending the time to find out what it is that you want. So if you're planning a holiday, before you decide you want to go to Scotland, you might go to a travel agent and ask them for some ideas. And they might say, okay, what sort of holidays do you like? And then they'd give you recommendations. You wouldn't put a pin in the map and then you're going to Dunstable. And then that would be the most disappointing holiday ever. There isn't even a train station. How would you even get there? So I think having help to reach that clarity is as important, because not everybody has asked themselves the right questions to know what it is that they want so that they can decide what destination they want to go to.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, Chris. And this is something that when people come to me, I actually want them to come with a clear idea, because part of the 12 steps is, step one is clarity. Know exactly what you want. But you've just spoke about how sometimes people don't know what they want. They have to figure out what they want. And when we're doing this process, the biggest challenge that stops people is fear of disappointment, fear of actually saying out loud, I want to be a global superstar. They won't say that because they think, well, that's not possible. So sometimes when people are about to think about what they want, that little voice in their head, that critic within, pipes up and says, well, you can't do that. Who do you think you are? And then they downplay it. And then what happens is you feed into that voice that's telling you, you can't do that. You can't be that. You're too old. You're not good enough. And then what happens is you go through your whole life never actually being clear about what you want, which means that after a while, you start to lose the momentum, and you start to even, this is kind of where depression and depression comes in. If you wake up every day going to a job that doesn't bring you joy, if you have created a life that is disappointing and depressing and miserable, then what happens is that everything else gets vacuumed into that black hole. But if you say, do you know what? No matter what day of the week it is, no matter how old I am, I'm going to put a stake in the ground and say, I want to do this. This is what I want. And I know that maybe I don't know how, but ultimately own it. And people won't.
Do you think a lot of people worry that they're being unrealistic with certain goals, or it's not attainable, so they set themselves goals that are less ambitious because it's easy, rather than doing what they really want to be doing?
Great question. And absolutely. I think that you can get into a state of mind where you think to yourself, am I being realistic? And we actually grow up in a society that is always saying, you need to be realistic. You need to be safe. You need to, I remember listening to this TED talk by Ken Robinson, who is an Oxford professor late. He's passed away now. And his TED talk is called Schools Kill Creativity. And he talks about how they say, if you want to be a dancer, you know, if you love dancing, you're not going to be a dancer. If you like music, you're not going to be a musician. If you like art.
This is what they said to me. They said, okay, this is careers advice. I don't want any of you saying that you're going to be an astronaut or a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist, because you're not going to be an astronaut. Let's be realistic. Okay, here's a list of boring careers. Who wants to be a dentist or an engineer? Actually, no, none of these are boring.
But you know what?
Apologies to dentists. But
they are boring if you want to be an astronaut.
Of course. It's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a weatherman. I used to stand in front of the wall at home and like wave my arms around,
really?
Pretend it was a weather map.
Wow.
Had no meteorological skills at all. I just liked the map and the symbols. But this was at the age of 3, and I kind of progressed a bit by the time I got to school, but they were still not the most supportive.
No, and you're right. And you know what? It makes me really sad, because like at the age of 3, when you come into this world as a baby, we come into this world with only 2 fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Every other fear that comes to us has been developed over time, and it's usually been through outside influences. So if at the age of 3, you already had a sense of who you were meant to be, and maybe it's going to develop and change, but the minute somebody then squashes that dream down and says, well, you can't do that, they're coming from a place where they're projecting what they believe is possible. And I'm not saying these people in your life are bad people, your mum and dad, but our parents love us. Most people have got loving parents, and they want you to be safe. So they don't want you to choose a career that is risk averse, or a career where you might end up not being able to feed yourself. So parents can sometimes be very selfish in the fact that they say, I want to raise you to be okay. And what you're saying you want to do is so unrealistic that we need to actually try and give you a plan. Why don't you use that as your plan B? And whenever people say plan B, Will Smith says, forget about plan B, focus on plan A. And a lot of people, me being a dancer and wanting to be a dancer, knowing I want to be a dancer, the school used to say, well, you're not going to be able to have a career dancing, and you're not going to be able to have a career doing that. That's not a sustainable career. Like, what happens when you're 45 and your body's knackered? How are you going to do that? And I think that because I was so strong-willed, and ultimately it was the only thing I was really good at, that I had to think, well, I have to do this because this is the only thing that I'm good at. Everything else I'm not good at. So this is my only choice, or I'm going to end up being as a dishwasher cleaner.
I think it's sad that you felt that was the only thing that you were good at, because I'm sure there were loads of things that you were brilliant at, but for some reason that's what got into your head, that the only thing that you were good at was the thing that they weren't encouraging you to do at school.
Exactly.
And the thing that you were doing off your own back, because the things that they wanted you to do, they weren't giving you any encouragement and making you feel that you were good at those things.
You're right. You really are right. You're taking me back now to when I was at school, and I was thinking, well, I'm not great at maths. I'm okay at English. I did all right in English, but it doesn't light my world up. But when I dance, I love it. And it's because of the system, the schooling system.
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. I don't think there's anything about maths or English or science that's actually difficult that people can't do. It's the way people are taught, and the way that some people derive a joy from certain subjects and some people don't, because they're just badly taught. And even if you hate maths, it's not the sort of thing that anybody is incapable of. It's just, if you aren't taught properly, you hate it, and then you just don't want to learn.
Yeah.
But maths in itself, it's just numbers. They're not going to hurt anybody.
And you know what the funny thing is? I actually built in 2012 a business called the National Accountancy Network. So it was a network of chartered accountants. And part of the way that we would invoice our clients is it'd be plus VAT. And I was very quick at working out what 20% was. I could do that quick maths in my head. And I was able to work out what 20% is, what 10% is, of what 15% is. So I was able to learn. But at school, the idea of doing percentages just didn't seem attainable.
It's because it's taught in such a boring way. It just is not fun, and nobody wants to know, and you can't see how it could be of any use to you in your life, so you just switch off. And that was the thing for me. All the subjects that I didn't see any value in, that were badly taught to me, I hated them, and I dreaded going to those lessons, and probably didn't do as well in those subjects as I could have done. But to be fair, it didn't bother me too much.
But this is where it comes back to clarity. If your past belief systems show you that you're not good at that, if you have it in your programming now, oh, I'm not very good at maths, I'm not very good at fractions. What happens is when you become an adult and you go out into the world, you're still carrying that belief system. And that belief system can get in the way of things. So when we talk about why people won't decide what they want, it is a whole mental, it's a whole mental, overwhelming emotional decision, because there's this kind of pull, like you're saying, well, I really want to become an Olympian, but at school I wasn't very good at sports or running, I never got picked first, I never won the race. Well, that doesn't mean you can't win and be represent, you know, Great Britain and be a gold medalist.
Not at all. And actually with sport, a lot of it is about determination and training and having the right coach and putting the hours in and becoming good. And they say, you know, if you want to be a world-class concert pianist and you spend enough hours learning to play the piano, you'll get that good. If I want to be a rock star playing guitar, like somebody who's really good at playing the guitar, then I just need to put the hours in, actually get a guitar and learn. But it's not going to happen unless you put the work
unless
in.
You're willing to put the work in. And I suppose that's what I focus about, the idea of that success is the results of lots of little things that nobody ever sees, and it's about the accumulation of you actually doing one thing at a time. And I the thing's called the law of I think it's called the law of accumulation, that if and the compounding. So if you get a little bit better in each area and you keep getting better at it, you compound it and you actually become an expert and a master. And there's that book by is it Malcolm Gladwell? He talks about the 10,000 hour rule. You know, if you are, and I know a lot of people say, well, it's not really 10,000 hours, but the point he's making is, if you, like you say, train and study and double down on something long enough, you will eventually become what you're aiming to be.
Yeah, and actually, you've got a great opportunity. Being alive is such privilege and such a gift. What are you going to use the next 10,000 hours doing? What are you going to achieve with those hours? Are you going to spend 10,000 hours becoming an expert on EastEnders and daytime TV, an expert on making toasted cheese sandwiches and Love Island? Or are you going to do what you've always dreamed of that you thought you can't attain?
Exactly. And when you say that, it gets me so excited, Chris, because every single person is born with a gift. Everyone has something amazing that they're here to do. But the thing is people don't want to release it to the world. And because of the fear, what if I fail and look silly? What if I get rejected? And the disappointment it hurts. When you want something badly and you don't get it and you get rejected, it does hurt. But it's about recognizing how to deal with that pain and carry on.
I think it's about seeing it as a journey and not one particular outcome. And every hurdle that you fall at, you're still getting closer to the finish line, because that's another hurdle that you've got past. Even though you might have fallen over it and tripped over your shoelaces, you're still getting closer to the finish line.
Yeah, definitely. And I truly believe that if you have to be willing to trip over some hurdles and fall flat on your face. You've got to get used to falling flat on your face, but then getting back up like a child. If every time a child took a step when they were just learning their first step and they fall over and you said, oh, let's not try that anymore.
Let's give up on walking now.
Yeah, let's it's too much. You keep falling. Let's be realistic. Could you imagine? That'd be a terrible way to treat our children. And, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same with gymnasts. Do you think there's any gymnast that has never fallen on their face trying to do a handstand or the splits?
Yeah, or trying to do anything, like walking across the balance beam. And I really talk about this, all about, like, if you're imagining dancing, gymnastics, boxing, any kind of sport, what happens is that you have to have that core stability. You have to be able to build that core up. But the only way that you build it up is actually through repetition, repeating it over and over again. And when you're trying to build a business, or you're trying to get to the top of the career ladder, or you're trying to achieve some audacious big goal, the thing that's going to always stop you is consistency, because you're going to give up because it isn't easy. So that's why it's important that you pick something and do something that you really want, so you have the energy to keep going.
Yeah, because you're not going to have that energy unless you're properly committed to it and it is the thing that you really want to do. Mm-hmm. But when you do find that thing and you're properly focused,
you'll be unstoppable.
You will. And that's why these Olympians are so passionate about it. They enjoy the feeling that they get from really committing to something and putting 100% of their whole life into it. And it's, you know, you get out what you put into something, but you need to find the thing that you care enough about to put all of that effort in.
And it reminds me of that Steve Jobs quote. You know, he says, do work that you love. Work is going to take up a huge part of your life. So you need to find work that you love. You've got to find something that you're willing to wake up at the crack of dawn and go for over and over again.
Do you know what I found as well? Community radio, a lot of the people that work here are volunteers, and the people that do this because they want to, because they're volunteers, because they're not getting paid, not because it's a job that they do and they go home at the end of the day and they do something else. They're doing this because it's their hobby. It's the thing that brings them joy. They're the ones that are the most positive. And when you work at a radio station where everyone's getting paid, they come in, there's certain people that are all politics and miserable, and it's a different kind of vibe. The same with voluntary work. The reason why people do volunteering and charity work and stuff is because they're doing it by choice, and it's because it's something that they genuinely love, not just because they're getting paid at the end of the week. And it's weird the difference it makes when you start getting paid for something. Suddenly, the reasons why you're doing it are different.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work for everybody. But if you can get paid for the thing that you love doing,
woohoo!
Win-win.
You have cashed in. Absolutely, Chris. That is the point. If you can get paid to do something you love, then you are successful. That is what success is. And I know that success is different for everybody, but success I see is when you do the work that you love and you just so happened to get paid to do it. Now you've got it all.
Yeah, but that never falls in your lap for me.
Never.
And the people that get paid to do radio are the ones that have done it voluntarily for all that time and have put the work in and the hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not convenient working for nothing if it's something that takes up a lot of your time. But that's the way to get the experience so that you become good enough to get employed doing that stuff.
Absolutely.
And it's the same with a lot of things, like with sport as well, that not everyone is a professional athlete from day one. It takes them a long time to get those sponsors on board so that they can do it as a living.
Yeah. I agree. You have to be willing. You have to be willing to do what's hard and necessary over what's fun and easy. And there's a really great quote that says, are you prepared to do the things today that others won't do, to have the things tomorrow that others won't have? And that's by Norman Vincent Peale. And he's the author of The Power of Positivity.
I love all these quotes. These are great. You just come out with these quotes.
I've got so many of them. And that brings me on to what you were saying. I decided many moons ago that I wanted to be a speaker, but nobody's going to pay me to speak. They don't know who I am. But because my vision, my goal, my dream, the thing I wanted is I want to be able to share my message to a group of people and stand on a stage. It's always been something I wanted to do out of the dancing. I thought, how can I still add value? No one knew who I was, so I had to go and speak for free. I used to go and say, let me speak. I want to speak about positivity. I want to speak about mindset. I want to speak about confidence. I'll come. I didn't ask them to pay me because I knew they weren't going to pay me. They didn't know who I was. But then I went and I spoke for free, and because I was ready, because I'd been training, because I'd put the 10,000 hours in, when they gave me the mic, I was able to create this amazing vibration where they went, we like her. And if I did it enough, then now eBay will pay me to speak to their people.
But now there's a value to what you do that people recognize. The value's always been there, but it's getting them to understand that. And now you wouldn't do it for free because you're worth it.
Absolutely.
You always have been, but it's getting the world to understand what the value of what you do.
And being willing to give without, that's coming back to like what you said, people volunteer. If you love something so much, you are going, the money isn't the thing that drives you. You want the money to be the byproduct of your success, but you are willing to do what's hard and necessary first. So driving up and down the country and giving all of my wisdom and knowledge, which is the same stuff that I give at the same places now where they pay me, I was willing to do it. But I meet people who go, I ain't working for free. I'm like, well, how are you going to get yourself out there? I'm worth more. Yeah, but you've never spoken to anyone. You've never had an audience. If you really want it, you're going to have to do your services for free. I'm not saying it's devaluing you. I'm saying you need to get some skin in the game, you know?
You need to get the experience. You might need to get testimonials from people to encourage photos, other customers. It's different for any different career, but the best way to get experience and to get the evidence that you're good at something is to just go ahead and do it and not wait to find somebody that wants to pay you. Just do it off your own back.
Yeah,
and then you've got that. You get those reviews on Google or Facebook or TripAdvisor or whatever, and then you can prove how good you are at what you do, and then the money will come. But the money is not the be-all and end-all. It's about success is about doing something that you love and for your life to be the life that you want.
And how exciting is that? Because that means that really the idea is if you can offer your services for free because they will let you in the door, get in the door and be so much better than everyone that they pay that they say, actually, we're going to have you. Like, that's the point. If someone won't let you in because there's not a door open for you, then go in with your hands giving, not trying to take. Go in and give.
If there's no door, get a hammer and start chiseling away at the wall, and then you'll find it's probably plasterboard. And, you know, be prepared to pay for the damage, but at least you'll end up in their office.
Absolutely.
The door's probably hidden in the wallpaper where it looks like a bookcase. It doesn't matter. You've made a new door there.
That reminds me of a film. And even when we say that, if you're somebody who is trying to get up the career ladder, so many times people say, I'm not going to pay for any training. My company should pay. I'm like, no, they shouldn't. You should pay for your training, because if you keep waiting for I've had it said so many times, like this book I wrote like 7 years ago. People say, well, I'm still waiting for my company to pay for that prints too. Pay for it yourself. No. Why would I pay for it? Because it's your value. Pay for it. I'm like, what do you not understand? And it reminds me of Nando's. You know, if you go to Nando's, you cannot, if you walk into Nando's and sit down and expect your chicken to come, it ain't going to come. You need to go and pay up front first. Pay for it first, then sit down, then the chicken comes. You don't sit there thinking, I want them to bring my chicken. Now, that's not how it works.
No, and I think sometimes people do get a bit confused when they go into a restaurant for the first time. But yeah, I think maybe everyone's got the hang of Nando's now.
Yeah.
But it is kind of more like McDonald's. But do you know, the food's all right. I mean, it's not, you know, I wouldn't take someone there
McDonald's?
For a first date. No Nando's.
Yeah, yeah. But the point of the matter is, Chris, is that
what is the point?
Is that you have to pay up front.
Yes.
Pay first. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I've been at this company for 4 years and they've not paid for me to do the leadership training. They've not paid for me to do the Prince 2 training. They've not paid for this. They've not paid for this digital course. Pay for it yourself.
Because it's you that's benefiting at the end of the day. Yes. The company will benefit because you work for them, but don't wait for them. Take the initiative. And there's so many courses out there. And it might actually be that what you want to do is a course that's completely different from the job that you're in at the moment.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily want the company to know that you really want to be a journalist or a musician or whatever.
Yeah. Once you've decided what it is that you want, then I'm not saying just jump out of the frying pan into the fire. Stay at that job, but use the money that you earn to fuel your career. So if you're working at McDonald's, and I've had clients who say, I'm at McDonald's, I say, good, stay there. That job doesn't require you to do too much thinking. Good, just work there, be the best you can be, earn the money, and take that money and reinvest it in the thing that you really want to do. Fuel your career with your wages.
Best thing is if you can do a job where you can have headphones on and you can be listening to an audiobook or something, developing your skills.
Or a podcast
while you're sitting there watching security cameras, or you're working on the production line in a factory.
Or driving a taxi.
Yeah, whatever it is, be developing your brain and your skill set. Be upskilling. Like in The Matrix where they plug in a new skill into their brains and then suddenly, you know, kung fu.
I love that. And that is basically what you get when you are on this podcast, because we're going to be giving you things that you can install into your mind, because our mind is like a supercomputer. And what's on your hard drive? Have a look. What is on your hard drive? What are your limiting beliefs? What do you believe is possible? What do you believe is not possible? And what we're going to do is we're going to start to actually remove some of those programs that are not working right for you.
It's all the clutter. I mean, I think if you look on anyone's computer, they've got so many old Word documents and files and notes and photos of nothing and
hoping that one day they might need it, but not realizing that by having them there, you're not making space for new things.
Yeah, you should see my desktop on my computer. It just fills up with so much stuff.
Mine too. And actually, you're making me think, we need to do an audit. You need to do an audit of your thoughts, audit of your beliefs. And you have to say to yourself, look, if I'm here and I only get to live on this earth for a short period of time, we're not going to live for thousands of years unless, you know, they start making these 3D organs that we can replace as one falls, then we could stay here. Yeah, well, probably we'll get about 150 years, but I don't know if we're going to get to stay here for 1,000 years. So the fact that we don't have long, we should make sure that we take the time to decide. I can see you want to say
no. I feel like that's a limiting belief, that you think that you're mortal. I'm planning immortality, just to put that out there.
If you're on that I'm with you then. Mm. Because if there's a chance I can live for 1,000 years, then basically what we're saying is take your time, guys. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I mean, you'll probably be an eyeball floating in a fish tank, but you'll be alive. And that's all that matters.
And that's all that matters. And the point is that none of us know. When we come into this world, our parents are given a birth certificate to say, this is the day this baby was born. But no one gives you a death certificate and says, this is the day that you're going. So the gap between when you're born and when you die, you don't actually know what the gap is. So what I would suggest is that you hurry up, decide what you want and start running towards it and actually squeezing everything out of your life.
Yeah, it's like that bucket list thing, isn't it? Mm. That you shouldn't need to, you know, have a terrible diagnosis to suddenly do all the things you've always meant to do. Just start now. Live every day as if you don't know how many you've got left.
Yeah.
Let's all feel like that.
I love that, and made me think of Steve Jobs once again, because he has this quote where he says, if you wake up in the morning and you... for too many days in a row, you don't like what you're about to do, then something's got to change. He says, you've got to make sure that you're checking in with yourself. If you wake up too many days in a row and don't like the thing that you're about to do, then you've got to change things. Because for him, he then got the diagnosis. But he really wanted us to know that you've got to do work that you love and you've got to check in with yourself and ask yourself, is this actually what I want for my life? And like you said, don't wait. Point is none of us know when it's happening. So during this time when we're fit and we're healthy and we're ready and we can go, we have to go for it. Because there's a lady who came in here, Judy. She was telling me about her and her husband. They worked really hard and her husband kept saying, when I retire, I'm going to play golf. When I retire, I'm going to play golf. But now he's retired. His body doesn't allow him to play golf the way that he could have played it when he was younger, which means playing golf can be quite painful. So he's waited all those years to have the energy to play golf when he should have actually played golf when he was fit and healthy and his body could move really well. How many of us are saying, I will do it. I will do it when I can, when it's the right time, when I feel happy, when this is happening, when just do it now.
And what are we going to be talking about next time?
Next time when you join us. So now that we've figured out what it is that you want, hopefully you'll go away and actually think about, what is it that I want? If you want the book, you can get the book and it actually asks you to go through some questions to figure out what it is that you want. But next time, step two, we're going to be talking all about how to be a winner, how to think like the successful people think.
Don't be a whiner, be a winner.